If you are not a veteran, would you have a seat here this morning? I'd like us to honor our veterans. Would you remain standing as our veterans? Give these folks a hand here, would you? Please, thank you very much for serving. Very much appreciated. Thank you. Thank you for all your service. You may be seated. Some are just home from their service and are back worshiping with us again, and we're very thankful that the Lord has brought them back safely home to us. Please continue to be in prayer for those that are out serving this morning. Benjamin Franklin is the one that is usually credited with the saying, early to bed, early to rise, makes a man healthy and wealthy and wise. We're looking at a man, Solomon, in our series this morning that chose wise. He chose wise. And the Lord was so pleased with Solomon's choice that the Lord gave Solomon not only wisdom, but he gave Solomon health and wealth to boot. Now, our question to look at this morning is, what's it take to be wise? How do you get to be wise? And our text, if we would follow the path of Solomon, suggests that wisdom starts with humility. Now, this is going to be an easier thing for some than for others this morning, granted. But let's start right there. Let's start where Solomon started when he came in to reign as king over the house of Israel. He started with humility. Do you and I realize how much we don't know about what we don't know? Have you ever thought about that? I had a conversation with a gentleman here this morning as we were greeting people coming into church, and he says, man, the technology today is just changing so fast. Do you realize how much we don't know about what we don't know yet? So much knowledge is just waiting yet to be understood. And we don't have a clue even what that knowledge is. Solomon said it this way. He said, O Lord my God, you have made your servant, speaking of himself, you have made your servant king in the place of David, my father, although I am but a what? I'm just a little child. I don't know how to go out or come in. That's humility, folks. When's the last time you heard a king say something like that? I'm just a little child. Doesn't know whether to come in or go out. You don't hear kings say that. You don't hear politicians saying that, do you? I don't hear any politicians saying that nowadays. What I hear politicians saying is the exact opposite. They say, elect me. I've got all the answers. Elect me and all your problems will go away. I got it all. I know how to handle this. And now I hear there's another candidate who's entered the race. He knows what we need. How refreshing would it be if we had some man or some woman to say, who, me? You got to be kidding. I couldn't do something like that unless the Lord God himself helped me. That'd be a man or a woman I'd want to give a shot. Amen? Someone that would finally have a little humility. Solomon said, I can't do this, Lord. This job's too big. Your servant is in the midst of your people whom you've chosen, a great people, too many to be numbered or counted for multitude. And on my own, I'm not going to be able to pull this king thing off. I'll screw it up. Can you say that about your little kingdom? I don't know how big your kingdom is, but everyone has a little kingdom. Mine is about 3 foot around my easy chair in the living room. This is my king. Every once in a while I come in, someone's sitting on my throne. But can you say that? about your little kingdom? Dad, mom, husband, wife, can you say, I'm a freshman when it comes to this family business, or I'm a sophomore when it comes to what makes a marriage work, or as my dad likes to say it back in the hills, I'm an armature. That's what Dad would always say. I'm an armature when it comes to this stuff. There's no shame in admitting that. Sometimes it's just the honest to God truth, amen? That you don't even know what you don't know yet. That's just being truthful and honest. Now, this is why we call some early enrollees in higher education, or even in high school, we call them when they first step into high school, what do we call that class that first comes to high school? Call them freshmen. And by the way, if you go to college, you have to start all over as a freshman, okay? So now you graduate that first year of college or high school, and what do they call you the next year? Sophomore. Anybody know what sophomore means? Sophia. Anybody know what Sophia means? Wise. Greek word for wise, Sophia. Morus. Anyone know what morus means in Greek? Fool. This person comes in thinking they're a wise fool. You start as a freshman, you graduate into being a wise fool now. And then the next year when you come back, what do they call you? You're just a junior. It's only in your final year, or for me, my final 2 years, that they call you a senior. Okay? Now you're finally a senior, and one day, hopefully, you'll become a graduate, and we'll turn you loose on the world. We just selected church leaders here for our congregation next year. And among these church leaders, we have one new elder. Never been an elder before. We've got four new deacons. And we've probably got one new board chairman who's never been a chairman before. Now, two of these individuals have already come to me, and they have very humbly and honestly admitted, I don't know anything about this. I don't know how to do this. One of them I met with this week, and he actually said to me, Gus, you've worked with board chairmen. What do I need to know? What mistakes could I make? Before I make them, I'd like to know. When I heard that young man say that, the first thought that crossed my mind was, already wise before his years. Already wise before his years. Already afraid he might not do a good job for Jesus, and he wants to do a good job for Jesus. Is there any way I could mess up in this job for Jesus? Now, what did Solomon say about that kind of fear? Solomon said, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of what? Wisdom. That's a start. That little bit of humility, of realizing, I don't have a clue. I don't know what I'm going to do. We need to be honest. We need to be humble. We need to be the first one to admit we don't even know what we don't know yet. Because by doing so, we will be putting ourselves in the best positions to learn. Have you ever tried to teach somebody something who thought they already knew everything? You ever tried that? How'd that go? With some people, it's sad, but with some people, you just have to throw your hands up and say, I guess they're going to have to learn that on their own because they're just not open to learning anything. They think they already know everything. How much better to just be honest and humble and admit, I don't know what I don't know yet. There's no shame in that. No one is expected to know what they don't know. But it sure is wise if they'd admit it and put themselves in the best position to learn. And as I said, some people are going to have more trouble with this than others. And please note elbows or dirty looks towards your neighbor this morning when I say what I'm getting ready to say. But there are some people that really struggle with pride. Now, some people don't struggle. Some people have a self-esteem problem, which is the other side of the same coin that we're talking about this morning. And I'm not trying to make you feel any less of yourself than you already do. But some people are like Zeke. Zeke strutted into Zach's blacksmith shop one day, and Zach had just finished with a horseshoe, and he threw it over in the corner to cool, and Zeke comes in and picks up that shoe to examine it, and he quickly lets it go. And Zach said, "What's the matter, Zeke? That horseshoe hot?" Zeke said, "Nah, it just doesn't take me long to look at a horseshoe." Some people really struggle with pride, and it can get them hurt. It can get them hurt. And they can end up hurting a lot of people with them when they're a leader, when they're a king of a little kingdom. Especially when it comes to the things of God. We're talking about eternal hurt here. There are some people who are keeping themselves and their loved ones eternally out of the kingdom of heaven because of their pride. They won't admit there are some things they don't know. We're talking about eternal things. They've never been in eternity yet. How could they know what awaits them there? And yet their pride won't put them in a position to learn. Now, let me say this morning. If you are here this morning and you're uncertain about this Jesus business, you're uncertain about God and the Bible and eternal life and all this stuff that we talk about here and the Bible talks about here, I just encourage you to keep an open mind. That's all. I commend you for being here. If you're here and you're uncertain, you're just checking this out, I really commend you for giving this a shot. But I encourage you to keep your mind open while you're here and to humbly and honestly admit, yes, there are some things that you don't know. You don't know all that you don't know yet. Who does? There are lots of things you don't know. And maybe this is one of those things. Now, I will grant you, give you this. Maybe after giving all this a fair hearing, over time, you judge this whole Christian business to be a bunch of hooey. If that happens, you can at least say you gave it a shot. You truly opened your mind to that which you may not know, and you gave it a shot. You put yourself in the best position to learn. But you just might come to know one more thing you didn't know. You just might come to know Jesus. Amen? You might. What is it the Bible says? Humble yourselves before the Lord, and He will what? He will lift you up. What's your responsibility? What are you to do? Humble yourselves before the Lord. What's His promise? He will lift you up. But you have to humble yourself first. Solomon did, and God gave Solomon wisdom beyond his years, wisdom beyond any of his peers, and wisdom that still to this day the whole world cheers. And to think it all started with a little humility. Just a little humility. I'm but a child. I don't even know how to go out or come in. Starts with humility and it ends with gratitude. After praying for wisdom, and we'll get to that in just a minute, but after praying for wisdom, Solomon believed he needed the wisdom. He didn't have the wisdom. He'll pray for wisdom. And after receiving the wisdom, the Bible will say, it pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this. It pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked for wisdom, and not just for his own sake, but so that he could govern God's great people and help them distinguish between what's right and what's wrong. That's something we really need in our world today, right? How do we distinguish between right and wrong? And that's what Solomon prayed for. And God was so pleased that Solomon had asked for this, that the Lord God said to him, because you've asked this and haven't asked for yourself long life or riches or the life of your enemies, but you've asked for yourself understanding to discern what is right, behold, I now do according to your word. Behold, I give you a wise and discerning mind, so that none like you has been before you, and none like you shall arise after you. And what's more, I also give you what you have not asked, both riches and honor, so that no other king shall compare with you all your days. And if you will walk in my ways, keeping my statutes, my commandments, as my father David walked, then I will lengthen your days. And Solomon awoke, and behold, it was a dream. Even still, he came to Jerusalem, stood before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, and he offered up burnt offerings and peace offerings, and he made a feast for all his servants. Because he considered God's word, even if spoken in a dream, a done deal. God keeps his word. And he thanked the Lord for it, because this was a dream come true. This is what Solomon wanted and prayed for more than anything. Wisdom. To rule. Govern and lead. And show God's people just what is right and what is wrong. 1 Kings chapter 4 says, and God gave Solomon wisdom and understanding beyond measure, and breadth of mind like the sand of the seashore, so that Solomon's wisdom surpassed the wisdom of all the people of the east and all the wisdom of Egypt, for he was wiser than all other men. He also spoke 3,000 proverbs, and his songs were 1,000 5. I love that. Not 4, not 6. 1,005. And then it goes on to say he spoke of trees, from the cedar that's in Lebanon to the hyssop that grows out of the wall. He spoke also of beasts and of birds and of reptiles and of fish. His knowledge was vast in all subjects. And people of all nations came to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and from all the kings of the earth who had heard of his wisdom. And all this is attributed not to Solomon's diligent study, but to a miraculous gift of God in answer to Solomon's prayer. And here's where parents may want to cover the ears of your school children. Because Solomon prayed for wisdom, and God gave it. I mean, this is almost like sleeping with a textbook under your pillow. We're not talking about study here. Solomon prayed for wisdom, and God gave it. Solomon didn't acquire it on his own. Now that comes later. There's a place for study. And you can read about that time in Solomon's life when he applied himself to the acquisition of knowledge. He writes about that time of his life in Ecclesiastes chapter 1. I put that in the sermon notes on the back of your programs. I caution you, because you may not like what you read there, but it's there just the same. There was a time in Solomon's life when he had a diligent search for wisdom, and he did that. But that's not what we're reading about here this morning. That is not what the Bible is describing. What we're reading about this morning is Solomon's humble and honest admission that Solomon doesn't have a clue as to what he's to do. This is no false modesty. This man has now been made king. Best we can tell from the text, he's 20 years old. So he asks God for wisdom, and God gives it to him. In fact, the very next thing that Solomon is recorded as doing after thanking the Lord in gratitude for the wisdom he's received, the very next verse in the Bible records Solomon making the greatest landmark decision that the wisest man in the world is remembered for to this day. The very next record of the very next thing this 20-year-old man did. It seems that two prostitutes living in the same house gave birth 3 days apart. One woman's child dies in the middle of the night when the mother very unfortunately rolls over on the infant. When she realized what she'd done, she arose in the middle of the night while the other woman slept, and she exchanged her dead son for the other mother's living one. In the morning, when the other mother awoke, looked closely at the dead child, discovered it was not the child she had borne, all you know what broke loose. And Solomon found both women in his court, both of them claiming to be the mother of the living child. That's my son. And in the day before a simple DNA test could have proven which woman was the true mother of that last remaining child, in perhaps the wisest court ruling ever spoken, King Solomon then said, and I'm not going to tell you what he said, I'm going to make you read it for yourself. You can find that reference in the bottom of your sermon notes in the back of your programs as well. But after Solomon's judgment is rendered, the Bible says this, and all Israel heard of the judgment that the king had rendered, and they stood in awe of the king, because they perceived that the wisdom of God was in him. And the point the Bible's trying to make is that the wisdom that was within Solomon was from heaven, and it had been given in a response to a humble admission that Solomon did not have what it took to govern such a great people. And the Lord was so pleased that Solomon had asked for this that the Lord said, granted. The wisdom within had been given. It was from heaven, not from Solomon. And what do you do when the Lord gives you something that you ask for? What do you do when someone gives you something you ask for? What's the proper response to someone who gives you something you ask for? You say, thank you. And you try to show your gratitude. And the Bible says, when Solomon awoke and he realized it had been a dream, he came to Jerusalem, he stood before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, and he offered up burnt offerings and peace offerings and made a feast for all his servants. Solomon said, thank you. The story of Solomon's wisdom begins with humility and ends with gratitude. What's it take to be wise? If you take Solomon's path, you start with humility and you end with gratitude. But in between, there's a whole lot of prayer There's a whole lot of prayer in there. James chapter 1 and verse 5 says this, if any of you lacks wisdom, go to college. Isn't that what we say in America? If any of you lacks wisdom, get a job with a master craftsman. Read a lot of books. Watch a lot of YouTube videos. They'll teach you how to take your car door apart and put in a new speaker. I did that. Worked. No, that's not what the Bible says. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. Now, I don't know whether James had Solomon in mind when he said that, but later in the book of James, James says this. He says, you desire and you do not have, so you murder. You covet and you cannot obtain, so you fight and you quarrel. You do not have because you what? You do not ask. Solomon asked. He humbly and honestly admitted he didn't have what it took. So he asked that it would be given him. Give your servant, therefore, an understanding mind, is what our translation says this morning. Other translations I looked at say, give your servant an understanding heart, or a discerning mind, or even a hearing heart, one translation says. All that sounded so interesting, I said, I got to look this up. And the Hebrew literally says, Solomon asked the Lord to give him a listening heart. A heart that would hear. A heart that would listen for the Lord's direction for his nation. Of all the translations I read, I think I like John Wycliffe's the best. John Wycliffe wrote the first English translation of the Bible. He took it from the Latin Vulgate way back in the 14th century, more than 200 years before the King James Version of the Bible was written. We consider the King James Version Old English. Wait till you see this English I'm about to show you. It's going to throw you when you first see it. Remember, this is Middle Ages. This is in the 1300s when this was written. But it is a translation that I believe is spot on when it comes to what Solomon was asking. Here's how Wycliffe translated it. Can we see it? I know this is going to be hard to read because this is not how we speak or how we even spell today. But this is a translation of verse. Therefore, thou shalt give to thy servant an heart able to be taught. I love that because that's the way I spell taught. I've been telling people all my life, I've been spelling words just fine, thank you. You don't need to correct me. But Solomon prays to God, therefore, Lord, thou shalt give to thy servant an heart able to be taught, that is, lightened, we would say enlightened, of thee, that he may deem or consider or judge the people and judge betwixt good and evil. For who may deem, consider, judge this people, thy people, this much people? That is a great translation. And you all just don't know how to spell. Solomon truly believed he didn't have what it took to pull this off. This is no false modesty here. So he asked the Lord, please, Lord, give me a heart that will listen to heaven. So Solomon could hear the Lord speaking to him and directing him when it came to what was right and what was wrong. And the Lord was so pleased with what Solomon asked that the Lord gave it to him. And I'm asking this morning if we can do the same thing. Now, our kingdom may not be as big as his. I'll admit, our kingdom may only consist of ourselves right now. I know a young man here this morning. I spoke to him again this morning. I am so proud of the way he is reigning over his life. His life is the only life right now at this moment that he's in control of. Now, times will change, and there'll be others the Lord will bring into his kingdom. But right now, his kingdom is his life. Well, if your kingdom is your life, how well are you reigning over your life? How well are you reigning over your kingdom right now? Or is your kingdom, even if it's only yourself, is your kingdom proving to be more than you can do? Maybe your kingdom now includes another. Well, thank the Lord that your kingdom's growing, as someone was willing to come into your kingdom with you. How well are you managing you and the other? Maybe your kingdom has grown larger. Now you have a home, now you have kids, or now you have your own business, or you coach your own ball team, or your school, or your classroom, or now you've been selected to lead a whole congregation. Are we big enough to admit that on our own we are not near big enough to pull all this off? The wisest man in the world did. He made that admission. And his advice to us when it comes to our little kingdoms is this. Here's the wisest man's advice. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. This is the man who prayed that the Lord would give him a listening heart. And now he tells us, here's the best advice I can give you. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And lean not upon your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. And he will direct your paths. Now, we're going to give everyone a chance to do that this morning. In my vernacular, we're going to give you the chance to quit flying by the seat of your pants. That's the way I was taught to say it. Quit flying by the seat of your pants, thinking that you got this. I mean, isn't that what we say nowadays? Someone asks, can I help you with that? No, I got this. I got this. I want us to think about quit flying by the seat of our pants and start flying by instrument. And the instrument I'm talking about is with this listening heart that we pray God gives us, that we would hear from heaven to direct us in our paths as to what is right and what is wrong. A heart that says, Lord, I don't have this. I need you to guide me. I need you to direct me. I need you to speak to me. Give me that kind of wisdom. Just like Solomon was given. Now, back in the hills, we often see these West Virginia Air National Guard C-130s on training missions flying over the mountains. It's a great place to teach them about altitude flying because there's no flat spot in the whole state to fly over. Each mountain is a different elevation. And any of you that have flown into Jaeger Airport, that's a picture of Jaeger Airport in the background. It's just a flat spot. They took two mountains and bulldozed off the top of the two mountains and filled in the valley, and the airport is above Charleston there on top of that mountain ridge. And this is one of the C-130s taking off on a training flight. And many times when I was a kid, I'd see these C-130s flying over in the middle of the day with the windshields tarped over. They were teaching the pilots to fly by instrument. Instead of by the seat of their pants. Pilots were learning to not trust themselves as to how high they were flying or how low they were flying, how slow or how fast they were flying. They were learning to not trust their own equilibrium when it came to whether their plane was flying level or whether it was banking to the right or whether it was banking to the left. They were learning to trust their instruments so that when the time came, they could fly in the dead of night or in the middle of the desert storm. For Solomon, that time came right up front at the beginning of his reign. He knew he could not fly this kingdom by the seat of his pants. For you and I, it comes when we trust Jesus to direct our lives. That we are not going to be able to decide for ourselves what is right and what is wrong in this confusing world. Some of you are just beginning to learn about Jesus, while others of you have already come to believe in Him as the Son of God. Others are committing yourselves to becoming fully dedicated followers of His with full intention of joining us in building His kingdom upon earth. Wherever you are in this process, we are praying that you will humbly admit with us that we don't have this. We don't have what it takes to pull this off. And we must ask for the wisdom of God, for a listening heart that will hear Him. God loves that prayer. And He answers it. And when He does, you will thank God over and over and over again that you asked for His wisdom. Let's stand. Let's pray for that this morning. Could we please? Lord God, we live in the midst of confusing times, and we may not have the responsibility of Solomon, but we have decisions every day that must be made, and a world that is leading us in so many ways that are astray, down paths that could destroy us and our loved ones and our families, and that's just in this life. In the life to come, where would it lead us? In the midst of all this confusion, you sent your Son Jesus to show us the way. It does require a little humility for us to admit we don't have this, but it's of no surprise to you. You must shake your head as you look down upon our confusion. We pray, Lord, you will give each of us a listening heart that would clearly be led by your voice in the midst of such disarray. We pray that this congregation would never be led astray, but that those who would lead it would be filled with your wisdom and could hear your direction for this congregation, and they could cipher it from all the other voices leading them, and they would lead this congregation in the paths you would have it take. Mom and dads that are here, Lord, we pray you'll give us wisdom that we would never lead our own family astray. There are some here that have just made the decision to begin bringing their families, their little tiny ones, to church with them Sunday after Sunday. Oh, Lord, what a great decision. Be with them as the world tries to sway them away. And show them what a great decision they've made. Give them a glimpse of the future of this next generation and the generations after them that'll be changed because of this one decision they've made. As listening hearts are being implanted in one new soul after another, and they start hearing from you Sunday after Sunday until one day they begin to hear from you on their own each day, reading your word for themselves, hearing your voice, listening for your direction in their life. Lord, if we have an open heart here this morning that is just giving it a shot, I thank you for them. And I pray that your Holy Spirit will plant this seed in their heart and it will grow to fruition. I thank you for an honest effort on their part of giving this a shot. And I pray it's a seed that'll grow in their heart until they choose also to open up their heart, to ask you for a listening heart, and to hear you lead them to your Son, Jesus, where they too can be saved. Wherever we're at in the process, Lord, may all ears be open, all hearts be listening to your leading. That's our prayer. For ourselves, our families, our congregation, our nation, oh God, give us leaders that will listen to what you have to say. It's in Jesus' name we pray. God's people said.